Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Nick, Dawn, and Greg, good to have you in as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. The Morning Mystery Movie Clip coming up in just about 20 minutes' time. What's on the cut sheet? Part due at the bottom of the hour. But right now, always an honor, always a pleasure to welcome in the 45th president of the United States. The great Donald J. Trump is back with us here in Philadelphia on Kale and Company. Mr. President, good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, good morning to you and the entire tremendous team. You know, you're all doing a wonderful job. The ratings are in and you're going up again. You know, it's no surprise when the president is always a part of the program. You know, the ratings go up like a rocket ship. It goes up like Bitcoin, which went down a little bit overnight, but it's going back up again now. And you're doing just a tremendous job, that much I can say. And so congratulations, because, you know, you're in the city of brotherly love and they love to boo, but your ratings are going crazy. So we love it.
Amen. Hey, Mr. President, I believe we have some breaking news. A judge has ruled Fannie Willis can remain on the case.
No!
Fox News is among those reporting this. Breaking news.
Maybe maybe Sean would like to weigh in on this, because I'm sure Sean would like to weigh in on this.
Yes. So Sean Farish is joining us here this morning, as he always does as Mr. Trump. He's got his red MAGA hat on this morning. Sean, your thoughts on this ruling? I'm stunned. I think the integrity of the case is clearly tainted, but Judge Scott McAfee, we knew this ruling would come down at some point today, his own self-imposed deadline, and Dawn just broke it for you. He will allow her to remain on the case. Your thoughts?
I think it's despicable. You know, we hear about the judge being a textualist and how he interprets the law as written, and he had made it very clear on several occasions that there didn't actually need to be a conflict of interest, but that's just the appearance of one. I mean, she lied to the court. I don't understand. So I guess now lying to the court's okay. If you're Fannie Willis and you're backed by George Soros, I guess that's all right. I don't know. It's bad, but it's not the end of the world, right? Because bad ruling, however, not the worst thing. I mean, you had a majority of the case or some of the case getting thrown out recently, and the rest of the case is really weak. I don't think it's going to be anything consequential towards the verdict. It's just stunning to see she lied to the court and zero accountability. Just, I don't know. It really undermines the faith of everybody in the system.
His actual ruling is that Willis, that the defense failed to meet its burden, proving Willis, quote, acquired an actual conflict of interest in this case through her personal relationship and recurring travels with her lead prosecutor. However, Nathan Wade must pull out of the case. So he must withdraw from representing here, but D.A. Willis remains. However, if Nathan Wade does not withdraw, then they both are booted.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, so there's a happy medium there. So. You know, I mean, they should have gone go big or go home, right, Judge McAfee? But that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, again, it's not a make or break at this. I think he's still going to beat this case, and it's already in shambles, and she's inept.
Yeah.
She's not a smart person. So I don't see this, being too consequential either way.
All right. We will put Sean Farish on hold. We'll welcome back in the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, the ruling just came down on a Fannie Friday as Fannie Willis can lead the Trump case against you, Mr. President, if her lover, Nathan Wade, steps aside. Your thought on Mr. McAfee's ruling this morning?
Well, I can't believe I just got preempted for a guy who looks like Dollar Store Bradley Cooper. I can't believe that. Incredible. But so Fannie is no longer allowed to have Nathan. She's no longer allowed to have Nathan in the courtroom, which hurts her because, as I told you, she is the Nathan's hot dog eating champion. Nobody eats Nathan's hot dog like Fannie Willis. And we're not talking about Coney Island. We're not talking about, although maybe she had some fun under the cyclone. It's very possible. It's very possible. But bad ruling from the judge, Scott. Nobody good. His name's Scott, unfortunately. It doesn't happen very well. Except Scott Weiland. God rest his soul.
Amen.
Stone Temple
Amen.
Pilots. We love them.
Amen.
Tremendous interstate love song. Amen. I wrote the song, believe it or not. I wrote that. Plush. Nobody wrote Plush. Except I did. He does a very good job with Stone Temple Pilots. But you look at this case, the ruling. Not a good ruling, but could be worse. But Fannie Willis, a dumb person, a low IQ person, an inept person, and she's probably going to do a horrible job in the case against me anyway, which is a hoax to begin with. It's a complete and total hoax. But we'll survive. We'll do very well. We're going to do very well regardless because that's all we do. We keep winning, winning, winning like nobody's ever seen before.
Donald Trump is joining us here on Kale and Company. Mr. President, your thoughts from what happened this week with the Robert Hur investigation and testimony on Capitol Hill before Congress. Basically, Joe is completely out of it. He can't stand trial, but yet Democrats will tell you that he's certainly full of vigor and he can serve another term. Your thoughts on what we saw but from both Republicans and Democrats when they were grilling Mr. Hur this week?
Well, I can say this, you know, anybody who pinches a loaf in front of the Pope is probably not competent to do anything. And you've seen it, you know, it was the greatest loaf the world has ever seen. It was actually, from what I understand, it looked like Tootsie Rolls.
But oh, no, that's not
really,
oh,
you don't want to do it.
Gross.
It's terrible. No, it really is terrible. You're not supposed to do that in the Vatican. And he did it. Never would have happened if I was your president.
Nope.
I can say that confidently.
Nope.
But we have, you know, the Democrats are saying he's vibrant. And even, you know, Rachel Madcow, I call her Madcow, on MSNBC said that he's so young and so vibrant and so fit because he rides a bike. And, you know, I don't think she remembers what happened to him the last time he was on a bike. It went down. So and he went down with it. It was like the Titanic after the iceberg all the way down. Nobody wanted to see it. Women and children first. Get out. She's going down. So you see what happens. You know, he's not vibrant. He's not vigorous. They have to shorten the stairs. They have to make sure the stage is clear of any obstacles. And even if there's no obstacles, he might go down. So it's going to be interesting. They say he can't stand trial, but he's a vibrant and incredible person. This is a guy, by the way, who said that he was raised in a Puerto Rican community in black churches and synagogues. Never heard of that before, but apparently he's been through it. So he is horrible. He has no idea what he's talking about. And I can't wait to run against him because it's going to be a lot of fun. That much I can tell you.
Absolutely. Donald Trump with us. You know, Mr. President, you look at a lot of the polls. I've got so many here in front of me. The Real Clear Politics polling average. You go on down the list. YouGov, Yahoo, Forbes, Harris, Morning Consult, Emerson, Fox News, you name it. You're in about a 2 to a 4 point lead in almost every single poll against the big guy. But I found it interesting in a Fox News poll with Pennsylvania voters, and we know Joe spends all of his time in Pennsylvania. He's here every couple of weeks. You're leading him by about 2.5 to 3 points. How important is it for you to get back into the White House when it comes to the state of Pennsylvania, which could very well decide whether or not you actually beat Joe Biden this time around?
Well, I do very well in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania loves me. I love Pennsylvania, and even Philadelphia. They booed me more than they booed when they drafted Donovan McNabb, which was a tremendous pick, which means I'm more popular, probably more popular than McNabb or Nick Foles. You know, St. Nick, I knew him. I knew I taught him how to throw. I taught him how to throw football.
Wow.
And that play on the goal line, I actually called it. I said, you got to run that beautiful play on the goal line. The fake, and he caught the pass. It was a beautiful pass. But I will tell you this, and the tush push. We love the tush push. I have to say that. But and Saquon Barkley, you know, you have so many beautiful things happening, but they're still unhappy, which actually means they're happy. I was booed more than Santa in Philadelphia, which makes me more popular than Santa Claus or St. Nick Foles, so we'll see what happens. But you look at Pennsylvania, we love fracking. We love energy independence. And Pennsylvania, they call it the Keystone State. It's a tremendous state. I did very well there. We're going to continue to do very well in Pennsylvania. You know, if it wasn't for George Santos at the Battle of Gettysburg, we wouldn't have a country. So you're looking at what we do in Pennsylvania is going to be great. We're going to use Pennsylvania and PA voters. We're going to do it. We're going to have it because they understand. Pennsylvania voters understand these are not stupid people. These are not. Despite what New Yorkers say about people from Philly, they're not dumb people, okay? They're smart people, and they understand energy independence is the way to go, and Pennsylvania is going to play a major role in doing that. That much I can say, because we have to do it. We don't want to keep buying the gas and the fuel from Russia, 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 but we're doing that. We're not going to do that when I'm your president. We're going to buy it from Pennsylvania, believe me.
Donald Trump is with us. Mr. President, you see all the images and the videos coming out of Haiti right now with what's going on in that third world country. You once called it an S-hole.
Yeah.
You got criticized for it. But once again, you look at the images, you see trash floating down the river, cannibals eating bodily parts. Once again, you were proven right. Your thoughts on the media, once again, realizing that they were wrong and you were correct.
Well, you see what happens. You know, everything that the Clintons touch dies. And that's what happened to Haiti. You know, they have it's terrible. It's what happened to Haiti. But you're seeing now there are people eating each other. I never thought I'd see that unless I was in Chris Christie's house. But you see that they're eating each other, and I can't believe it. Now they're coming into our country, and they want to eat us. I'm not going to let that happen. Even Chris Christie says, that's enough. You're not supposed to do that. Donuts. Let's not eat people. Let's eat donuts. But their cannibal gangs are running the country, and now there are people that are coming here, and they're landing in Florida, and DeSantis is trying to make it stop, and hopefully he can. And we don't want these people here. You know, you have to come here legally. That's the thing. If you're not here legally, you have to go. And you don't have to go home. I don't blame you not wanting to go to Haiti, but you can't stay here. You have these people. These are, I call them bad hombres. They're coming across the border. These are bad hombres. They're not sending their best. You have drugs. You have a lot of violent crime coming across the border. We can't have it. We want a nice country, not a bad country. We don't want our country to turn into an S-hole, as you said. I would never say such a thing, but you said it. And we would never want that to happen here. And that's why I have to be your president. We have to get this under control, or we're going to have chaos, and we don't want that.
Donald Trump with us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I got to get your thoughts. You know as well as anybody just the level of fake news that comes out of CNN, and now they are attacking Aaron Rodgers as Pamela Brown is reporting a story that Aaron Rodgers said Sandy Hook was basically a false flag, and he told that story 11 years ago at the Kentucky Derby. I find it very interesting with the timing, Mr. President. As soon as you hear RFK Jr., a guy that you're obviously going to beat and destroy in the ballots, and he won't really be a huge factor, but he's considering Aaron Rodgers and Jesse the Body Ventura, and then conveniently CNN just puts this report out this week. Your thoughts on them going after the Jets quarterback, because they have certainly gone after you for 8+ years.
Well, listen, if you want to hurt Aaron Rodgers, just let him play on MetLife Stadium's turf toward the Achilles 4 plays in, and that's all you have to do. But I know Aaron very well because I know Woody Johnson very well. And, you know, I just want you to think about this for a second. Whoever named Woody Johnson did a very bad job. That's a name for the ages. It's a beauty. I can tell you that. It's a beauty. But I know Woody Johnson very well. And, you know, I know Aaron Rodgers very well. And the cheesehead, you know, he used to play for Green Bay and they had the cheesehead. I did very well in Wisconsin. We're thinking about doing MAGA cheeseheads, big red cheese with the MAGA. It's going to look great. We're going to win Wisconsin. Lambeau Field, we could do a rally in the frozen tundra. Would be a tremendous job. The bleachers, we'd love that. Nobody sits at my rallies anyway. They're always standing. It's like a Duke basketball game. They're always standing. Incredible job. But you're watching, and it's March. It's March Madness. But you're watching this, and you're watching Aaron Rodgers there destroying the guy. Now he knows what it's like to be me. It's worse than being behind the Jets' offensive line. You're under constant pressure. So it's horrible. But you know that? All you have to do, if you want to hurt a Jets quarterback, all you have to do is just start the regular season, because it stands for just end the season. Aaron Rodgers, tremendous guy, not going to be vice president, not going to be your president, but the fake news is hurting him, and he sees that, and I am happy he sees that.
Oh, there he is, Sean Farish, as Donald J. Trump on fire, as always. Sean, I got to wrap it up with two questions here for you. I want to get your thoughts on this, because this is happening right in your backyard. I've got this story from the Daily Wire. I was reading it a little bit last night, how the government in Tennessee, the council is urging the legislature to give illegal immigrant kids legal status once they turn 18 and officially become adults. Your thoughts on what's transpiring right there in your own backyard?
See, I don't want that. And it's not about any sort of prejudice against people or where they're from, like Ilhan Omar. Some people did something, right? She says that no human being is illegal. And I mean, we were shouting this out from the rooftop, saying that they're going to start saying that Republicans think people are illegal, not the means by which they came into the country is illegal, which is that's the case. They came here illegally. Their existence isn't illegal, but they have no legal claim to our country. I was against DACA from the very beginning because, you know, it's another one of those free handouts. Of course, when they turn 18 and they're given citizenship, which means what? The right to vote, and they're of age to vote. Well, who do you think they're going to vote for? Right. So that's all it's ever been about. And I don't want to see that happen in Tennessee. I don't care if you're from Canada, Mexico, Russia, the UK. If you're not here legally, you don't become a citizen if you broke the law to come here or if you were involved in some illegal operation to come here. It's got to be done legally. And I don't think that's so much to ask, but apparently in this day and age it is.
Sean, I got to ask you, we talked about it about 15 minutes ago as the news broke. And if you weren't listening a couple of minutes ago, the case in Atlanta, Fulton County, Willis or Wade must withdraw from the Georgia case. Scott McAfee's ruling coming down. So essentially, Fonnie Willis can stay on the case as long as Nathan Wade relinquishes and gets out of the way, so to speak, and is no longer involved. But also yesterday, we had the Alvin Bragg case. That gets pushed back another month as they dumped 73,000 pages of documents on Trump and his legal team. Your thought on that delay and how this is going to be playing out? And obviously, we're talking about the Stormy Daniels hush money payment of $130,000.
Ridiculous cases all around. So the Bragg case, I think, is the weakest of the four. Judge Cannon in Miami may dismiss the documents case based off of selective prosecution. If you're following Julie Kelly, I believe you guys were talking about that. You know, there's a decent chance that she dismisses that over selective prosecution. But the Bragg case, 71,000. I mean, listen, 71,000 pages. It's like it's enough for Congress to pass in a night. So I'm surprised they even asked, you know, for a delay. The Fannie case. So this is what's weird, right? So I didn't really get a chance to think about, but the Fannie case. Think about this. So the judge is making either Fannie or Nathan Wade step down, but there's not a conflict of interest. Then why does either of them have to step down?
Right.
So something's not in, right? It's just because it's a happy medium. He's being challenged by a Democrat challenger. He says it's not going to impact my ruling. Clearly it did, because if there was no conflict of interest or at least an appearance of one, neither would be told they have to step down. They wouldn't be told they have to do this case independent of another. So there's holes in all of these rulings all over the place. And it may come down to Trump just having to beat the cases in court, which I think he'll do. And if not in, you know, not initially, like let's say the D.C. case or the New York case on appeal or at the Supreme Court level, if they're able to get those cases up there, he definitely will be able to. These are all fraudulent cases. They're based off of nothing but opinion and you know, opinion that has been fueled by Trump derangement syndrome. So we'll see. Alvin Bragg is just like Fannie Willis. The guy's inept. They enjoy Twinkies a lot. And we'll just see what happens. You know, we'll just see what happens.
I also think, you know, the other piece of this is that I want to interject is that Kemp, Governor Kemp, provided that backup plan Wednesday, signing into law that Prosecuting Attorneys Qualification Commission, they rewrote the law. So there may perhaps, I'm not a lawyer, but perhaps there is an issue here that the Judge McAfee, because of the law that was existing, I don't know. It just seems like what he was ruling on, he was trying to be a diplomat, and Governor Kemp signing that into law, they can go after now with this commission. They have written it such that they will have the power to remove Fannie Willis if they find that she violated the law, and the commission would vote on it.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Okay, that's interesting. Yep. I didn't even know about that.
That's a backup
interesting
plan.
Look more into.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's cool. So would that be a state legislature thing, Dawn? Would that be like the state ledge would have to look at that?
So they did. The state legislature, and this just happened Wednesday late, and Governor Kemp signed it into law, and it's immediately it takes effect. So that's the backup plan that I see now. Was Kemp, because McAfee is a Republican appointee, was Kemp giving McAfee some cover here politically? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know a lot of this stuff is political, but it just feels to me like absolutely this commission is going to name that they're investigating Fannie Willis, and then they would have the power to remove a DA that they say violated their ethics standards.
It's a good point.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome.
Sean, great stuff as always. Woo! Brother. We appreciate the time, man.
And yes. We will say too.
Thank you.
I think we will say too that Sean will be guest hosting with you for a few days in April when Dawn is away. So,
woo-hoo!
Sean. And I guess the president will make an appearance as well, Sean?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he'll be on demand. We'll have him on speed dial.
Good.
You know, he's just not happy. You know, he got preempted for this Dallas to Bradley Cooper guy. So,
yes.
You know, I got to smooth things over with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I apologize both to Sean Farish for putting you on hold for Trump, and I apologize to Trump for putting him on hold for, as you said, the dollar store Bradley Cooper. Great stuff, brother. We'll talk
soon.
Thank you,
guys.
Sean Farish joining us as we get
so
– How about that? Breaking news coming in right as we're getting.
Wow.
I got to put the Trumpster on hold.
I got to tell you this. I believe this program was the one that said, don't consider this a slam dunk.
Right.
We said that not that we agreed with it, but we're saying that, like, don't think that this is a cut and dry case where Fannie Willis is going to be completely removed.
I am ultimately.
There's a lot of people saying that, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, she's done. This is over. This case. Now it doesn't work like that. It just doesn't.
But it's an interesting. So we talked about, and Sean made the great point there. So there's not a conflict of interest, but yet you're telling us actually there really is. That Mr. Wade has to leave.
Of course, there's a conflict of interest. Anybody can see that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's right. There, the judge tried to say, well, look, you know, one of them has to resign. So, like, I'm playing kind of both sides here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's never as cut and dry as people saying, oh, well, this is it. She's out.
And
she's off the case.
And it's easier to get rid of the special prosecutor that was hired than the actual district attorney of Fulton County, Georgia, right? Like, I mean, she is the top ranking prosecutor.
She's the DA.
She is the DA. You know, she's Larry Krasner, basically. So.
But my question is, the way I read this, so it gives her a window. Because it's not that she would have to step down as DA. She could. She has the option to step away from the case.
Correct.
So she could hold a news conference.
She won't.
Because the commission, you know, this commission is coming after her.
Well,
and they're
going
to do a big investigation, and they have the power, and now they have the power to look into everything.
Yeah, no, I don't think I read one person that said she will lose her position as the district attorney.
Yeah.
We were talking about just being removed from this specific case. And, you know, we talked about, well, would she get disbarred? Is this good? And I didn't think any of that would happen, nor did I think that the case is certainly not going to go away. And ultimately, it'll come down to the interpretation of that phone call as to whether or not who views Trump saying, find me 11,000 votes under what context.
But that's thrown out. That was one of the six things thrown out.
That's specific.
That's thrown out.
Well, that's huge. That's huge for Trump.
So I think in a way this week leaves this case toothless. That's how I see it. It's toothless.
I don't know about that, Dawn.
No?
I don't know. I just everything about this case, they want this to go through. They do. And I think they're going to move heaven and earth. And again, those six charges that were dismissed, they were basically clerical errors.
And this will go
They can rewrite.
They can rewrite them. They can be remedied.
But think about this, too. This is a jury trial case. So even if, Fani Willis is still the lead prosecutor in the case, just based on the sheer coverage of this story, in the court of public opinion, where you have 12 human beings sitting down as a juror and as a group of, basically peers, it only takes one person to sit here and think, well, you know what? This feels like a persecution of Trump. Yep. And if Trump's attorneys get one person, he's off. You know?
I would not be surprised. I'm just going to say, because I feel like this judge also gave Fani Willis a window where she could come out and say, for the sake of the appearance and for this case to go on, she handpicks somebody, an ADA in her office, whatever. They're going to move forth with this case, which has become a distraction in her office to uphold the law. And now she says, I'm going to move on with dealing with, the crimes and so on and so forth. And somebody else is going to take over the case. It'll be seamless because we want to continue on with the persecution of Trump. I would not be surprised if that happened, because what the Democrats want is actually, to your point, they want to not have a huge delay. Mm-hmm. If this state commission takes up Fani Willis, she could lose her job. She could get the total boot if they say that she violated the ethics and that they've just written in this new law. Yep. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately, though, I mean, it's, the burden is on Fani Willis, and she's got to get all 12 people in that jury pool to say that, Trump is guilty of.
And she loves Nate. Is she going to throw her man under the bus?
Oh, well, for you, she will.
Yeah,
he's done.
Is he done?
He's toast.
Cooked.
He'll
be booking cabins with another lady soon.
Uh-oh.
By the way, I just want to take another victory lap again. Not because we like this outcome, but because this program has been telling you for the last couple of weeks that don't be so sure that this is a slam dunk. She's going to be removed. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Coming.
Maybe.
Go ahead, Don.
I think, I'll make my prediction.
Oh, here we go.
Because I think...
Hey, we're getting predictions from Dawn. I'm all for this. Normally, she's anti-prediction.
I think that she and Nathan have this passionate thing going on.
Thang? Is that T-H-A-N-G?
I think it's good for Fani.
No, it's for
her. She likes this man.
This is her stepping up the political rings. Like, she's climbing, and she's stepping on Nathan Wade's head.
Is she?
His big, bald head.
Or I predict...
We're going to come back with a little Marvin Gaye, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I predict that she's not going to throw Nathan under the bus.
No, she definitely will.
But she says, they're asking me to betray my man, and I'm standing with Nathan, and I'll appoint somebody else. They can do this proper prosecution, and I will focus on my job protecting the people.
All right.
And it makes her look good. She's standing with the man.
So no buses.
All right,
I went to school on a school bus.
We really have to break here.
All right, coming up next, what's on the cut sheet part due as we wrap up a Friday of Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, let me tell you about my friends at Blue Chew. That's right, bluechew.com, promo code 1210 for your first month free. That's right, bluechew.com, promo code 1210 for a free month of male enhancement. Because the great people at Blue Chew offer a unique, one-of-a-kind online service that delivers men the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable tablet at a much cheaper price. Just pay $5 for shipping and handling. Stay fresh with Blue Chew. No doctor's appointments, no embarrassing conversations, no pharmacies. Right to your door, discreet fashion. BlueChew.com, promo code 1210 for your first month free.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Kale and Company, it's been a busy week and a very busy morning as the breaking news coming down just about 35 minutes ago. Essentially, the judge in Fulton County giving Fonnie Willis an ultimatum. Either you fire Nathan Wade or step aside yourself in this case and the prosecution against Donald Trump. I don't know the answer to this question. I'm just asking it out loud. I wonder if Trump has any recourse here to appeal this ruling about keeping Fonnie Willis on the case with this ultimatum. It feels like, and I was trying to read some of the the captions here on Fox News because they had Jonathan Turley on a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, I have some of that if you want
to. Yeah, we can get to that on the cut sheet. I'm also wondering, too, you know, what type of precedent this establishes, because basically what Scott McAfee has done here, he's kind of straddled the fence, so to speak, but he's also, I think, created a precedent here that now a prosecutor, a district attorney, the district attorney, can lie, perjure, and commit perjury under oath, not only not lose your law license and get disbarred, which would be way down the road anyway, but also have the option to remain on a case. I mean, I got to imagine that's what Trump's legal team is going to be complaining about, and I would imagine that Trump will be blasting away on Truth Social about that. So we will see, and that came down just about 40 minutes ago. All right, 9:39, let's get to a Friday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. So two things, two legal minds that I listen to and I like, both one from CNN, one from Fox News. Let's start. One is Ellie Honig, the other is Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley was just on Fox News talking about this breaking news about the Fonnie Willis case. This is just a little bit of what he said, reacting to it in real time as we were talking to Sean. Here's just a little bit of that from just about 20 minutes ago.
Well, I actually think that part of what we're seeing here is the result of improvisation on the law. That much of this is improvised law. What is happening in New York with Alvin Bragg is improvised to be the point of the theater of the absurd. I mean, it is, it's using a statute in a way that I don't think can be used. I'd be surprised if it could be upheld. In Georgia, you had Willis put together the most attenuated, in my view, weak racketeering claim to somehow bring together these 18 defendants into a single conspiracy. It doesn't hold well. Even when you read the prosecution's own papers, it's just you're left at the end with like, what? I mean, this, it's almost a random aspect is some of these people being put into this overarching conspiracy. And I think that's the problem, is when you improvise, you make mistakes. And we've seen those mistakes, obviously, in this case. In fairness to the judge, you know, he is saying, I don't buy the fact that Willis, you know, brought this case essentially because she was going to bring in her lover and get free trips out of it. I get that. I mean, I think it's very clear that the motivation of Willis was not romantic, but political. That doesn't make it any better. But I can see why the judge said, even if I accept a lot of this evidence, I don't necessarily believe that that was the purpose of the case or how the case was unfolding. My problem with the judge is that these two prosecutors stand deeply contradicted, not just by witnesses, but by cell phone evidence. I find it hard to believe that the judge accepted their testimony as completely credible. So if you believe that they may have lied on the stand, I don't see how that doesn't prove the gravitational pull to disqualify both. But there's a real advantage in splitting the baby in this way, because he does avoid the necessity of driving the case over the cliff, so taking out the entire office. But that's going to be the lingering question. I think that much of what the judge says is good faith and is credible, that he just didn't see the motivation of the relationship behind the case itself. The problem is what happened after the allegation. These two prosecutors did great harm to themselves and to their office by saying things that many of us do not believe are true.
I don't believe you could ever look at either one of these attorneys with any credibility again. I do agree with him when he's talking about some of these, and I'm paraphrasing here because these weren't his words, but basically he's saying, especially with the Alvin Bragg case, these far-fetched legal theories, these untested legal theories, where you're taking things that have never been done before, and I think that's where the Trump supporter comes out and says, wait a minute, you're really rolling the dice and taking a shot on this theory that's never been used before. Why? Why are you doing that? Well, that's why a lot of people believe that these are politically motivated prosecutions. So a very good analysis from probably one of the best legal minds out there.
CNN's, let's go over to CNN, Ali Honing reacting live to this and saying he thinks that the case has survived, but not without substantial damage. Cut 11, Phil, go.
Paula Reed, I know you're poring over this, and we will get back to you as soon as you get more new information. I do want to go now to Ali Honig. This is what I'm reading in the language. The prosecution of this case cannot proceed until the state selects one of two options. So very clear there. He's saying you cannot go forward unless what?
One of you has to go. Either the DA and with her the entire office or Nathan Wade. This will be the easiest decision the DA's office has ever had to make. Obviously, Nathan Wade will go. And the judge in his ruling says essentially this is necessary to preserve public confidence in this case. He says there's enough of an appearance. There's enough of, as he says at one point, an odor of mendacity around this case. Interesting phrase. That something's got to be done to at least clean up the public
this thing
perception.
Smells.
Yes, of mendacity, whatever that smells like.
But this gets what you're talking about. This whole thing was so messy, and that's what Michael Moore was saying. And this could have been nipped in the bud.
Right, again, it's really important to underscore here. The big takeaway, Fannie Willis stays on the case. The DA's office keeps the case. The case can carry on. That is far and away the bold headline. They have survived, but not without substantial damage. I mean, there is some really stark language in this ruling. The judge calls out the DA's, quote, tremendous lack in judgment, the odor of mendacity. He says that the public speech she made in the church was, quote, legally improper. And the judge even says in the ruling, it may be time for a gag order on the DA because she keeps on making improper public statements. He leaves it out there. He doesn't say I'm issuing one, but he raises the possibility of a gag order on the DA. I mean, there's gag orders on Donald Trump because we collectively fear that he may be tainting the jury pool. And now the judge floats the same possibility. So the DA's office has survived. The case survives. It will roll on at what pace we'll see. But there's some damage done here.
So I think there's two ways to look at this from the Scott McAfee standpoint of public opinion. Some people will sit there and say, well, Scott McAfee, you're a coward. If there's one that should be gone, then they both should be gone because how can you just only boot one of them? But then there's also, you talk about the tainted jury pool there that Ali Honig mentions. This is how Scott McAfee kind of gets out of the way, so to speak, and plays the middle. He can just sit there behind closed doors and say, you know what? People aren't stupid. They're already drawing their own conclusions. They feel like this is tainted. So I don't really need to boot Fannie. Fannie probably shot herself in the foot with all this to begin with.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this is breaking news. This is great stuff, but not great stuff. The ruling wasn't great, but you know, it's great that we're here to cover it.
It's great content.
It is.
All right, we break it. Or are we going to?
No, we have to break it.
Okay, quick break. We'll come back and find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show, and then we'll get to today in music history and who won Twitter today. It's all still on the way as we put a bow on a Friday show. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
When you look around your kitchen, is it a little outdated? Or maybe that bathroom, the guest bathroom that you're just embarrassed about. Whatever it is, if it's outdated, you know what you need? A little magic. I'm talking about Kitchen Magic. Yeah, they're Pennsylvania local, family owned and operated since 1979. It's easy. Schedule your free in-home design consultation today. Do this so you can bring your kitchen or your bath back to life. Kitchen Magic is the full-service remodeler I trust to quickly, beautifully, and affordably transform your kitchen or your bath. Right now, they're offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, plus 10% off your remodel. Just visit KitchenMagic.com. KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand. from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Friday morning, Kale and Company, as we get set to pass the baton off to Dawn Stensland and the Dawn Show coming up in 8 minutes. What do we have lined up this morning, Dawn?
Yeah, there's so much breaking right now. Obviously, we'll carry on the baton of this breaking news story as we go through Judge McAfee's ruling and what that means, all the implications. And this really tees us up to talk to Nate Benefield of the Commonwealth Foundation, of course, a policy expert. So we'll ask for his take on this as well. But he's writing in the Commonwealth Report, his Commonwealth Foundation latest report, talking about Governor Shapiro's carbon tax and what that means, as Shapiro bills this as a green energy policy for all Pennsylvanians. You want to hear Nate Benefield's take, as he calls it disastrous. So we want to hit that hard and talk to him about that. And then coming up in the 11 a.m. hour, retired Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, we'll talk to her. And in light of everything that's happening in our region, across the region, body cams, Sherelle Parker, the new mayor, as she releases a refund the police agenda. So we'll talk to Sergeant Betsy Brantner as well. There's so much going on. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Looking forward to that as we get to Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music History on Kale & Company.
Today, March 15th, we celebrate the birthdays of Mark Hoppus of Blink-182, Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray, Bret Michaels of Poison,
wow,
Mike Love of the Beach Boys,
man,
Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead,
wow,
and Dee Snider of Twisted Sister.
Six.
There's six. But do I have any time left? Oh, actually do. Let's continue. Notable albums include the final Talking Heads album, their eighth, Naked, released in 88, Destroyer by Kiss from 76, and Motley Crue's only album with John Corabi as lead singer from 95. Also, Blackwater by the Doobie Brothers hit number one in 75, Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, hit number one in 67. And lastly, in 68, the Stones began recording Beggar's Banquet.
Yeah.
For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
He told us it would be the birthday bash today, did he
sure.
not?
Six.
There you go. Count them six. Let's wrap it up with who won Twitter today.
Who won Twitter?
Headmaster 543, which I believe is my buddy Johnny. I'm not sure, but I believe it's my buddy Johnny. Anyway, it's a great tweet. He says, watching the Georgia case, when I have, the judge seemed wishy-washy at best and gave Willis and her ilk way too much time, and also seemed to use this case to make himself a star.
Mm, very good point. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, a lot going on here. Luckily, Dawn will be with you in 5 minutes.
There you go. Everybody have a great rest of your Friday. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next, and we will reconvene Monday morning at 6 a.m. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody.
Sick of you. I'm sick of all of this I'm done with it.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.